Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on Martin Luther King Day here in the United States. Always a Monday. It's Martin Luther King Monday, so a very happy day to you wherever you are in the United States. Probably the prime, Darren, you have to correct me if I'm wrong, but the prime celebration of the whole civil rights movement, Martin Luther King Day, right? Today. Yeah, we don't have another bigger than this. So we do celebrate all the many successes of the civil rights movement and of the person, Dr. Martin Luther King, on this day, wherever you are around the world. And I know you, wherever you are, you know who Dr. King is. We're going to have a wonderful show for you. The second hour, we'll have a bioethics. We'll do bioethics talk. And you, as you might expect, that'll be Father Tad Boholcek who will join us. So if you got bioethics questions, questions about the care for human life in any of its stages, about medical innovations and what's okay, what's not okay, give us a call second hour for that. This hour, especially because we got lots and lots of people off of work today and we get a chance to talk to folks we don't usually get to talk to. Why are you pro-choice? If you're a pro-choice person, we would love to talk with you about that. We are pro-life people. We don't hide that, but we love talking with everybody. And if you are a pro-choice person and you want to tell us about why, give us a call, 888-318-7884. You'll be talking with our guest, Trent Horn, one of the great pro-life advocates in the world today, the author of a whole bunch of books, including a couple that are pro-life right now. We've got a booklet that, I don't know, they're going to get a million copies, 2 million copies, 10 million copies. I don't know how many of the new pro-life books, booklets from Trent out into the world. Trent Horn, thanks for being with us.
Good to be here.
How's Texas going?
Oh, it's great. You know, we the weather fluctuates a bit here. We had a weather today that did rival Southern California, but then it's going to dip back down here soon, which I didn't providentially do it. God would have providentially did it. I'll be visiting California soon when the weather gets cold here to film my new course answering Protestant arguments at our studio in Oceanside in Southern California. So it'd be nice to get out of the cold here a little bit and enjoy some San Diego weather for a bit, as long as your guys' rain is done.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you didn't know that we're in an atmospheric river. I mean, this is the worst thing.
You're like in an atmospheric ocean. It hasn't let up.
No, it really hasn't. It has been raining quite a bit. But it's just rain, Trent. It's just rain. And, you know, the thing about California, it's such a big state, like a road washes out somewhere and CNN shows up and then the relatives from back east calling, are you all right? Well, yeah, a road washed out 700 miles from here, but I think we're okay. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. For you, Trent, is there any relationship between the pro-life position and the whole battle for civil rights? Do you see it as a civil rights type battle?
Absolutely, because the goal of the pro-life movement is to expand the circle of human concern, right? In fact, that's the goal of all human rights movements, really. If you think about when we look at what has been the mark of progress in human societies over the past several thousand years, it's that those individuals that were once considered to be less than human are now considered to be fully human. And throughout history, it's very interesting. Throughout history, whenever a group of powerful people have said that a group of humans are not persons or they're not fully human, they've always been wrong. We saw this with Africans, with dark-skinned people, with Asian Americans who immigrated to the United States. We saw that with Native Americans, with Jewish people throughout history. In all these cases, the claim that this group is not fully human, even though they're biologically human, has always been mistaken. So to me, that really makes it seem quite probable that those who say unborn human beings are not human are also just as mistaken as well. The idea that they're not fully human. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to expand the circle of the human community to include all members of the human species. And that would seem to be a very equitable and fair thing to do.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884 if you disagree with us on this point, if you are a pro-choice person. Listen, a pro-choice, take it however you want. If you if you say, you know, well, I don't believe in abortion in the last trimester, does that make me pro-choice? Yeah, if you are in favor of abortion in any stage, if you're then you're fair. It's fair for you to call today as a pro-choice person. Why are you pro-choice is our topic. 888-318-7884. A perfect day for it on this Martin Luther King Day here in the United States. 888-318-7884. Before I go to the phones, because there are folks on the line, there are a couple of lines still open, but we're still processing the folks on the phones. We really do want to talk to pro-choice people today, and so we're making sure that each caller is a pro-choice person who has a pro-choice point of view. Tell us about the book, Trent, the newest pro-life book that you did, Why We're Pro-Life.
Right, so this is more of a booklet than a book, and that makes it very easy to hand out to people. So it's short, takes about a 30-minute read, and it is written in a tone, like my book, Why We're Catholic, in a tone and a style that is accessible, that is not confrontational, that is something that you could give to a pro-choice friend or classmate and read, and they would understand the basics of the pro-life position. And it's also written so that the references to religion come at the end of the booklet, so that those who believe the pro-life position is merely a religious position won't just be turned off immediately as they start reading it. They'll see that it quite accords with the principles of the moral law that any rational person can understand and detect. So yeah, Why We're Pro-Life, I'm super excited. We want to give that away to schools, to pregnancy centers, to churches. We'd love for you to hand it out. It's a great resource to give away, and we hope lots of you will pick up boxes for that, especially as we come around to the commemoration of Roe versus Wade here in January, though I hope this will be the last commemoration of Roe v. Wade we ever do, and we just give it another 18 months, and in June of 2024, we then gather to commemorate Dobbs versus Jackson, and to commemorate the next step in the pro-life fight.
You know, you'll take away the main thing about the Walk for Life, however, the walking in freezing cold, drizzly rain. We won't have that if we do it in June. Are you trying to mess that up?
You know, I think that the Supreme Court just. It was providential there that they decided to hold out to the very last minute and then release it. Although what's interesting here is that most controversial cases are released at the end of the Supreme Court's term. That's been something that's happened more recently. I'm sure the court operated a little bit differently back in 1973, I guess. So
again, 888-318-7884, the number, 888-31-TRUTH. We have already had our Walk for Life here in San Diego. We had it on Saturday, and the cardinal from here in San Diego, I thought, did a very nice job in answering reporters' questions. You know, they go for the big name, and of course, if you got a cardinal, then that's the big name. And he did a very nice job about it. And I wanted to mention it because I do think a lot of times people have complained that bishops aren't adequately pro-life and all that. And I thought it was just wonderful to see the cardinal, without any drama or any obfuscating, just saying we're standing up for life. We believe in the sanctity of life, and we think everybody should stand up for the sanctity of life. I know people outside the Catholic Church think it's obvious what the Catholic Church position is, but often Catholics are kind of fussy at the bishops for not doing more.
Yeah, and it's. I mean, it's always hard, right? You want to see people going out, and you might have expectations that are realistic that are not met, or expectations that are unrealistic. But I think what's important here is to just continue to ask our pastors and our shepherds to make our spiritual needs known, and especially to, as you're doing right here, Si, to praise them and thank them for speaking up for the unborn, which can be very difficult, and for taking risks in doing that, because if they don't hear that and get blowback from secular media or from others in the church who are not very sympathetic to the pro-life viewpoint, they might be less willing to do that. So we should definitely affirm people when they're speaking difficult truths to society.
Yeah, and you said taking a risk. I mean, nowadays, walking at the very front of a pro-life march, you kind of do feel like you're taking a risk. And there he was out in the front. So I was very grateful to see that.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bob in Springfield, Illinois, listening to EWTN on Channel 130 Sirius XM satellite radio. Bob, thank you for your call. Why are you pro-choice?
Hey, yes. Happy New Year. And
thank you.
Thanks for being on the air. I listen to you occasionally now and then, and I just had three areas that I thought about where it's challenging, and one would be a birth defect, one would be a rape victim, and one would be incest. A third would be incest. So, like a rape victim, I remember reading about a woman who was Catholic, and she gave birth because instead of having an abortion. But then what happened in that state, the rapist served his 7 years for rape and then came out and wanted to share custody. So she had to give up her daughter to this rapist, okay, because the judges decided that this is the father and he has right to the child,
sure.
Okay? And other states would maybe say no. But then, two, if you have a birth defect, in an extreme case, and that's what kind of pressed me to think, well, how can you go post-birth abortion, you know? But then if you have a child that's born with severe birth defects, you know, that, and you know that ahead of time, then you might say, you know, and depend early on, you might abort the child, you know, like some of these people that have like two heads or the heart's out of the chest and it's beating outside the chest.
Well, Bob, I hate to jump in here. We have to go to a break here very soon, our first break. So I'd like to address that particular point, and then I can address I'll talk about birth defects, and I'll address your question about the issue of rape when we come back from the break. But when it comes to a child who has a fetal anomaly or a birth defect, what we should ask is, all right, what would we do if this were a born child? Like, what if a two-year-old injured himself with his father's handgun and was dying or was going to be lifelong seriously injured? Because you can have children or adults who become seriously injured, or you can have children who have a birth defect that was missed during the pregnancy and was discovered after birth, like Tay-Sachs, or even in some cases Down syndrome or other cases, you might miss a particular birth defect until the child's born. So if we would not kill a child after they're born because they have an illness, a disability, or some other injury, if we would not kill a born child for that reason, then I would say we should not kill an unborn child for the same reason, because they're both human. If you say it's okay to kill a child in the womb because he or she has a birth defect, then there's no logical reason to say you can't kill a two-year-old who has an injury or an illness or something like that. But as to the question of rape and other issues, I'd be happy to address that when we come back.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Why Are You Pro-Choice on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The destination for great Catholic audio programming is EWTN Podcast Central, featuring the best of EWTN radio, as well as faith-filled podcasts from our friends and affiliates across the nation, all in one place, all free. If it's central to the faith, you can find it on EWTN Podcast Central. It's like podcast heaven. Visit EWTN.com/radio/podcasts today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Going to go back to our conversation between Trent and Bob in Springfield. We're asking callers, why are you pro-choice? And please leave the lines open for them, because Sarah's in there working hard to get every call screened. And we really would just like to speak with pro-choice people today. We'll leave the phones for everybody else on the other days. The number is 888-318-7884. If you're a pro-choice person and you'd like to call and tell us why and have some conversation about that, we would love that. We'd really appreciate it, as a matter of fact. 888-318-7884. Trent, are we going back to Bob, or did you want to?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well, we can go back to Bob if he has any questions in that regard. Because I wanted to also follow up about rape, and I'll give a similar reply that what you describe, like someone who is a victim of rape, becomes pregnant, and then when their child is 7 or 8 years old, has to share custody with the rapist who's never been involved in this child's life at all prior to that point, I would say that does seem very unjust to me and wrong. But I would say once again, even if we don't know what the right answer is for what to do with parental rights in cases of children conceived through rape, we can at least know what not to do. We can at least know, well, here's definitely what we shouldn't do. We definitely shouldn't kill the child. We definitely shouldn't do that. And because the thing is, you can have messy child custody cases with born children. It happens all the time. You can have all kinds of cases where you have, a father who's committed a crime and maybe a crime against the mother, maybe assault. Maybe they had an abusive relationship and they've separated. And then the father is given custody later, even if it's unjust that he's given it. And then, well, what do we do in those cases? Well, do we kill the child so the child doesn't have to be shared in this situation? No, we work to resolve whatever injustice has occurred. So just as we would not kill a born child because he or she has a defect or injury or illness or is the victim of a messy custody dispute, we should not kill an unborn child for the same reason. So that would be, I guess, my reply to that. But Bob, does that should cover really all three, because incest is kind of a combination. But does that make sense?
Yeah, Bob, really, it's like checkmate, really. I mean, that answer has all three of those concerns. It's just a messy situation, and it's a sad situation. Yeah. But I think that answer was checkmate, so you win. Not win, but you made a good point. God bless.
That's fine.
Thank you,
Bob. It's fine with me.
I've never had a caller declare Trent the winner before. That was the first time that's happened. Congratulations, Trent. You can receive your trophy later. But I do appreciate that thoughtful call. It's interesting, like taking from what you just said, Trent, we don't always know how to solve these problems, but we know what not to do. You know,
that's important to remember.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Kaylin in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Kaylin, thank you for your call. Go ahead with you. Oh, no, excuse me. I should say it this way. Why are you pro-choice, Kaylin?
I apologize. If I told the screener if today's not the right day for this question, that I can drop off. But it's not. I'm not pro-choice. I actually had a more of a general question kind of related to the pro-life, pro-choice argument. So,
okay.
I know a few people in my life who are IVF babies, and I was just wondering if Trent could speak on essentially why IVF is wrong. Mm.
Sure. And to put it in the context of the pro-life movement, there is a difference of opinion among pro-life advocates when it comes to the subject of in vitro fertilization. So in vitro fertilization, or IVF, occurs when fertilization takes place outside of the woman's body. So you take sperm from the man, egg from the woman. You then fertilize them in a petri dish, create a human embryo, or in some cases, multiple human embryos, and then implant them in the mother's womb. Now, I think all pro-lifers are against IVF when it results in the destruction of human embryos. This isn't as common as it was before, but it still happens where you have embryos that are multiple embryos that are created, screened, and then they are destroyed either before implantation or they are placed within the mother's body, the woman's body, mother, and then maybe they are euphemistically selectively reduced or aborted. So I think pro-lifers would say that at least on that front, you are creating human beings knowing that you're going to directly kill some of them. And that would be wrong, because we'd say it's wrong to directly kill human beings. So if there is an IVF process where that is intrinsically connected, that would be a major reason why it is wrong. But another reason that the Catholic Church would affirm would be that IVF, in some cases it violates a child's right to life, like if they are an extra embryo that is destroyed purposely. In all cases, though, so in some cases that happens, but let's say you just create one embryo, right? Well, you would still violate the child's right to come into existence through the marital act and to reside inside of his mother's body. So an unborn child, the reason abortion is wrong, because you'll get people who will say, oh, well, yeah, it's a baby, but it doesn't have a right to his mother's body without her consent. And the reply to that is, no, not only is this child a baby, a human being, he has a right to life, and not just a right to life, he has a right to the assistance of the woman who brought him into existence, one of his parents, his mother. So he has a right to food and shelter and being cared for within his mother's body. Part of his right to life entails the right to his mother's body. So unborn children have a right not just to live, but a right to reside in their mother's body. And IVF would violate that right by causing them to no longer be the fruit of the marital act, and instead objectify them and cause them to be the result of a manufacturing process. Now, with a caveat here, I will say this. Look, children who are conceived in IVF are good. They have immortal souls. They are blessed in God's eyes. So they are good, even if the means that they came into existence is not good. There's many children who come into existence through fornication, right? People have sex outside of marriage. And those children are good, but the way they came into existence isn't good, because children have a right to come into existence through the marital act. What that means is, as soon as they come into existence, they are the fruit of the love of a mother and father who are husband and wife. The husband and wife are united to each other, and so they are there for that child, and the child is within his mother's body. Now, Kaylin, you may say, yeah, well, that's all very theoretical. What's the big deal if you have a husband and wife and they're infertile? Why can't they do this process to have that child, okay? Well, another argument I make here to help people wrap their heads around that would be somewhat of a practical one, but it explains the principles. And that would be this. Once you open the door and say there's nothing wrong with creating a child because somebody wants a child, say, I want a child, all right? And I want to treat my infertility. Now, we should always treat infertility. But children are not a medical treatment. No one has, as the catechism says, no one has a right to a child. No one does. Children are a gift. So if we say that, well, what do we do then to treat a married couple who want a children? What about an unmarried person who wants a child? What about the unmarried person who says, I can't find anyone to marry me, so I want a child? It might be an unmarried woman who uses a sperm donor. It could be an unmarried man who uses a sperm donor, an egg. He could use a sperm donor, an egg donor, and a gestational surrogate, and have a child basically delivered to him. You don't have a principled way to say they shouldn't be allowed to do that if you're grounding IVF and saying, well, it's people have a right to a child, they have the right to do this to have a child. That the commodification of it becomes obvious when you look at many of these other cases. Where you have now, you have people who come into existence who have five parents: the sperm donor, the egg donor, the gestational surrogate, and the two parents who adopt them, you know. So, which would contradict God's design for human beings don't reproduce. You might reproduce a copy of a document in a fax machine or whatever. We procreate. We create and partner with God to bring a new immortal soul, new human being into existence. But, so that would be a summary of it. But Kaylin, if you would like more, if you give us your email, I will send you a copy of my friend Stephanie Gray Connor's book, Conceived by Science. And it's a whole book about IVF that it expands upon what I talked about. So give us your email address. We got a few minutes where we have to go to a break. Was that at least a helpful start?
Yeah, that's awesome. That was way more than I could have asked for. Thank you so much.
Well, good. But then stay on the line. Give us your email address, and I'll send you a copy of Steph's book.
Yeah.
And for our listeners, definitely pick that up. I believe it's called Conceived by Science. Yeah. Stephanie Gray Connor's on IVF.
She did a job there that no one else has done, and it really was a service, that book. So
yes.
I hope people will get that book. Let's go. Kaylin, you hang on, and Sarah will pick up the phone and get your information. And I'm going to go to Loretta in Colorado, listening on 970 AM. Loretta. Why are you pro-choice?
Hi,
Loretta.
I'm reluctantly pro-choice because I don't want these things done. I don't want women self-aborting. I don't want them going to... I'm old enough to remember when they did do this and women died, girls died. Some didn't go to the doctor. They were too afraid. So I think that's what will happen. I think that a lot of that is going to take place, and I just think nobody in this country is forced to get an abortion. No one. And as long as it's that way, now, if the president would say tomorrow, people, girls have to get an abortion if they're 13 or younger, if he made a rule like that. But nobody has to. But the other thing is I have
Loretta,
talked to
Loretta, we
so
have to go
many...
to a break in a sec. Loretta, hold on. We have to go to a break in a second. So I'd like to ask you a question because I'm trying to get at your reasoning here. So here's my honest question. Can you give me an example involving born people where we make it legal for one born person to kill another born person so that it's safer for them? Like, is there any example you can think of with born people where we say, hey, this bigger born person wants to kill this smaller born person, let's at least make it legal so it's safer for the bigger person because they're going to do it anyways?
Oh, I feel...
See, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm saying, yes, it's wrong.
But okay, well, when we come back from the break, we'll dive into it more.
Can you hang on just a minute? Because I have to go to this break, Loretta. Can you hang on?
Okay.
Okay, thank you so much. Why are you pro-choice this hour? If you are a pro-choice person and you'd like to talk about it, 888-318-7884. The recent decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn Roe v. Wade was a monumental victory for the pro-life movement. But the fight is far from over. With our new booklet, Why We're Pro-Life, we have produced the perfect tool to prepare you to have peaceful and convincing conversations to shed light on the truth about human life from conception to natural death. Catholic Answers is printing millions of copies of this booklet, and we plan simply to give them away. You can help us in two ways. First, by generously supporting this project. 25 cents prints one book. $2,500 prints 10,000, and so on. Second, by helping us distribute the booklet through your parish, your school, or the pro-life ministry you work with. Catholic Answers is going to blanket the country with Why We're Pro-Life, but only if you step up and help us. Thank you so much. For more information, visit whywearepro-life.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Catholic Answers Live is 25 years old. That's a quarter century helping people come into deeper communion with the Catholic faith. As we move into our second quarter century, please help us reach thousands more by becoming a Society 315 monthly donor. Right now, when you join Society 315 at a monthly giving level of $25 or more, we've added some extra perks to the other great benefits we already offer members. Go to givecatholic.com and choose the monthly option to start your donation.
Hi, this is Janet Williams. Please join us for Women of Grace tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. On this Martin Luther King Day here in the U.S., it's a day off for lots of people in the U.S., but this is not a pre-record. We're live, so you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you are a pro-choice person, that's what we're doing this hour. Trent Horn is our guest, and we're inviting pro-choice listeners to call and have that discussion with us about why they are pro-choice. 888-318-7884. Loretta in Colorado is on the line. And Loretta, you were saying before we had to go to that break that you basically agree with Trent.
I agree that it's wrong. I agree that it's taking a life. I told you why I want it to remain legal. There are girls that don't agree with us, and they're going to go get these abortions anyway. And when I ask pro-choice people, okay, it's murder, what are we going to do with these women that do this? I don't know. You can't, you know, I just talked to a priest this morning. He said even among priests, they can't agree. So I'm going to ask you that question. What are we going to do with these women when it's made illegal and you find out she's had an abortion? What are you going to do to her?
I'm sorry. So if someone has had an abortion, what will be done to them if it's illegal?
No, when you make it illegal, When you make it illegal, a girl that goes and has one anyway, what is the punishment?
Well, in the states right now where abortion is illegal, women are not punished. The laws are crafted to punish the abortion providers.
Okay, and that's
I live in
wrong.
One of those states.
Because a woman will can self-abort and not even involve anybody. What are you going to do to her? I'm talking, you know what I'm asking you.
Well, I don't know how the law would...
A woman who is totally responsible for her abortion, what are you going to do to her?
So you're saying the person...
And that's exactly the answer I always get.
Loretta, isn't she responsible for choosing to have an abortion instead of choosing to give birth?
Yes, and what are you
going to
do?
Should she be held responsible for her free decision?
Yes, yes. What should you do to her?
Okay. I don't know how
answer.
It would apply in that case. There may be a legal punishment.
The
there
I
might
get
not.
All
be.
The time.
And but why does that bother you? Why does I don't know bother you?
Because I've talked to so many people and they're so.
Loretta, let me ask you a parallel question. Let's say a girl gets pregnant, right, and she's not able to get an abortion, and she gives birth to the baby, and she just abandons the baby in the woods, and the baby dies. What should be done with her?
She should be punished, but if you're going to
punish how should she be punished?
Well, if she's in her right mind, which I don't even know if she'd be in her right mind, you have to look at the circumstance. But I'm giving you a circumstance that is very clear. A woman has self-aborted.
Okay, then why can't I give you the same answer? A woman who self-aborts should be punished, but it would be based on the circumstance and her state of mind. I just gave the exact same answer you did.
Well, okay, should you put her in prison?
Would you put the woman who abandons her newborn in prison?
You know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the woman who self-aborts. What I'm telling you is, to me, that is her punishment. The abortion is the punishment. She has to live with it. And anything else you do is just, it's not going to work. I'll tell you, it's just not. I think that's why it became legal. It's because it didn't work when it was illegal.
Why do you think that there should... I'm trying to figure out, you agree that abortion kills a human being.
Yes, it's wrong. I agree.
And in other cases, we should punish people who kill born human beings, right?
Right. Right.
Then why don't you why don't you give the unborn the same respect and hold those who end their lives just as responsible? I don't understand.
I'm not disagreeing with you. With you. What I'm saying is it's not going to work.
How do you know it's not going to work?
For example, it wasn't legal before, and women still self-aborted or went to abortionists.
Okay, Loretta, let me ask you this: if you burglary and rape are illegal, but they still happen, right?
Right.
Okay, but they would happen a lot more if they were legal, correct?
Oh, I don't know about that. Then it wouldn't be if it's not against the law, then I don't know. I'm not
if it
following
was,
your
if it was
there.
Legal to steal things, do you think people would steal more?
Oh, I don't know. It wouldn't be a crime then, kind of trying to follow you a little bit.
Loretta, my point is that we have laws. Right. Loretta, we have laws against crimes. They don't stop all crimes, but they stop a lot of them. We actually have the data now from abortion having been made illegal in many cases in Georgia and here in Texas, that the overall numbers of abortions have gone down, and we don't see rampant illegal abortions taking place or self-administered abortions. And we've actually known this for quite a while, that there was a study done many years ago called the Turnaround Study showing 4,000 women who couldn't get an abortion because they were too far along in their pregnancy. And what these women did is they didn't go out and get illegal abortions, they just had the child. And that's what we're seeing now in states, in what's happening now with abortion as it's being made illegal in a lot of various states. But I would just go back to the main moral principle, and that would be that we should make it illegal to kill innocent human beings. There may be cases where we're not sure what the punishment ought to be given the different circumstances that are involved. However, we should protect the unborn just like we protect other born people and not make them less worthy of protection just because they're unborn, I suppose. But thank you so much for calling. We have a few other callers here on the line waiting. And yeah, feel free to call back anytime.
The number is 888-318-7884. We really do enjoy the conversations with pro-choice people, and we appreciate the calls. More than anything, I want you to know we appreciate the call. So if you are a pro-choice person and you're willing to have that conversation with us, we would love to have that conversation. 888-318-7884. Up next, an anonymous caller listening on the EWTN website. Anonymous, thank you so much for your call. Why are you pro-choice?
Yes, good evening. Let's see, I'm actually pro-life now, but I was pro-choice for a long time. In my 20s and 30s, I would say I was pro-choice and thinking a woman had the right to choose about her body. But I think I didn't understand if there really was a person there in the womb. And then I studied actually Buddhism for 10 years and Mahayana Buddhism, because some people might say, well, the Buddhism I know doesn't talk about that, but certain Mahayana Buddhism scriptures, they describe precisely how the soul enters at the moment of conception, exactly like how the process happens. So according to those scriptures, it agrees with Catholicism that right. A being is there at the moment of conception. So abortion would be killing, because there is a being, there is a soul there. So that changed my mind. So
Trent, what do you make of that?
Well, I think that that's very helpful to know that, you know, it's not just a Christian view on the matter, that other people can see that if you have a developing human organism, that if you believe in a spiritual principle of life, it makes a lot of sense to say, well, that spiritual principle of life is present when the organism first begins to exist, which science shows is the case at conception or fertilization. Now, the question of ensoulment has not been infallibly taught by the church. There were some earlier saints and doctors like Augustine or Thomas Aquinas who placed ensoulment later in pregnancy, but they had a mistaken view about the biology of development. If they knew about DNA now and human development, they probably have a much different view. The most recent magisterial documents seem to affirm placing ensoulment earlier, even at conception. Now, it hasn't been infallibly defined. My colleague Tim Staples has written an article about this at Catholic.com, where he makes the case that in the church's non-infallible teaching, that this has been affirmed in different documents, that at the very least, it says that the human embryo from conception onward is to be respected as a person. Even if we don't detect the moment when the soul enters the body, we can know there is a human life here, and human life has an intrinsic value that other human beings do not have. But you can check that out at Catholic.com, Tim Staples' recent essay on that. And yeah, Anonymous, I hope that's helpful. If you stay on the line, Anonymous, I would love to send you a copy of my book, Why We're Catholic, because you might also find that helpful for other questions you may have as well. So do stay on the line. Love to send you Why We're Catholic. And yeah, I hope that it helps you in everything you're looking at.
Thank you so much, Anonymous, for that call. That brings us right to the break. We do have lots of lines open. One call we will get to right when we get back. And then if you'd like to be in the line behind that one, give us a call. 888-318-7884. If you're a pro-choice person, this is your opportunity to let us know why you are pro-choice. 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
What a great grace it is to have the opportunity to use the airwaves for the honor and glory of God, to be able to talk to the hearts of individuals and meet them where they are in their relationship with our Lord, and also to encourage them forward.
Women of Grace with Johnette Williams, this morning, 3 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's that time of year when we like to challenge listeners and readers to take on the 20 Answers Challenge, challenging you to read all 53 books in the 20 Answers series during 2023. As we usher in 2023, it's a great time to set goals and to challenge yourself with something that's going to benefit you and those around you. The great news is that even though we've added 3 new books to the sampler for the month of January, we're leaving the price the same. That's a savings of almost 75% per booklet when you buy the set of Catholic Answers 20 Answers booklets. Check them all out at shop.catholic.com, shop.catholic.com. Trent Horn is our guest this hour. Why are you pro-choice is the question of the hour. If you are a pro-choice person, we'd love to take your call. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Going to Wellesley, Massachusetts. Deirdre listening on 1060 AM. Deirdre, thanks for the call. Why are you pro-choice?
Well, actually, I told your screener that I'm actually pro-life, but I have a question that I would love the answer to.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like maybe a legal one. When people speak of babies who survive late-term abortions, and then there people are demanding them that it's still the mother's choice for the child to be killed, isn't that child automatically an American citizen with its own rights?
Well, I am not an expert in the question of birthright citizenship. I know that we have been working in different states and at the federal level to pass the Born Alive Infant Protection Acts, to pass legal protections for children who survive abortions, at least to make sure that they are given medical treatment, that they're not simply just allowed to die. Now, some of these laws, I know this was the case in Montana and others, that there was opposition placed against these laws because in some cases, let's say a child who survives a spontaneous abortion, that would be a miscarriage. There can be a case where a child is miscarried right at the border of viability, and they're essentially dying. We could maybe keep them alive, but not for very long. Their lungs just aren't developed enough. And so we would be futile to provide life-giving care because the child wouldn't survive anyways. And in that case, it's acceptable to allow the child to pass away naturally. But there's other cases where a child survives a late-term abortion, and they certainly could live, and they're simply abandoned by the abortion provider and staff, and they're just abandoned so that they will die, and you'll get the dead child that was paid for. And so there's been a lot of work been done to prevent that. Now, you would think that a child who's born, you would think a child who's born, though, hey, they're born, it's set. If you neglect them, it's a citizen, that's murder. I just think, though, it gets a little bit tricky sometimes in the way when children are born, because in order for a child to recognize it, to have citizenship, you have to have a birth certificate. Like, our third child was accidentally born at home. So technically, and this was in September of 2020, this was during COVID, it took us like 3 months to prove he was a citizen because he wasn't born in a hospital. So it was like we had to go jump through all these hoops. So it may not be as cut and dry in that respect. I agree with you. It would seem like once you're born, you're recognized as a legal person, you're a citizen, you should be protected. But I think it can get, they've carved out these niches in different environments where people can take advantage of the legal loopholes. But I'm sorry if I couldn't give a more specific answer there, but that's why I would recommend that people support legal initiatives to make sure to close any loopholes that would allow an abortion provider to neglect to provide basic care to a child who survives an abortion because they simply want the child's life to end. So definitely be aware of those legislative efforts in your state and get out and support them. I think we had that at the federal level. There were a lot of people who voted against it as well. But thank you, thank you, Deirdre, for your call on that.
All right. Good night.
Good night, Deirdre. Yeah. Thanks very much. So you were your child was not a legal citizen. So were you like for the first 3 months? Does that make you a smuggler, or what were you doing there?
No, I think it was. I will tell you this side, because he was not an American citizen. Like communicating with him, like he didn't understand English. It was very difficult for those first 3 months.
No, I don't even know
eventually,
what you're talking about.
It's gotten a lot easier now that he's gotten his citizenship. So yeah.
He's a citizen of these United States. That's funny. I forgot that happened during COVID. So then it's even harder because they don't want you to come down to the courthouse or anything.
It was the most expensive ambulance ride we ever had. At first, they tried to charge us for labor and delivery of the child for our bill. And we said, no, I did all that at home. You should be paying me for doing your work. So they charged us. It was like $12,000 for the ambulance ride or something. I was like, no, we did labor and delivery at home. You can't bill us for that. So they just billed us the same amount for delivery of the placenta in the ambulance.
Did they really?
So they did.
Man.
Oh, they did.
What a scam. I got to, boy, any way to get into that business? No, probably too late for me to get into that business.
Oh, it's, but I mean, it was all worth it. But I will tell you this side was really cool is that this is our third child, John Paul, on his birth certificate, it says that father, and then there's this thing for like the person who delivered the child or like mediated the birth, whatever that part is, that I'm listed in both those places. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's you on. Yeah, that's right. Why are you pro-choice this hour? If you're a pro-choice person, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. I notice as I keep going to these calls, though, well, I'm not pro-choice. So that keeps happening. But let's try Steve here in California. Steve, why are you pro-choice?
As you said, Edgar, you nailed me. I was when I was younger, back in 73. I was guilty twice. But when you get of any age and any understanding, that's what drove me to the Catholic Church, and still is, as you guys know, is your teaching on this subject and other issues that are strong. Come on, I'm not the Lone Ranger who's done this, but Lord God, now it's past any lying. Back at them, there was no scanning, nothing. They didn't, can lie to you. I believe the government. Now I don't believe the government. But anyways, that's a different subject. But I just want to say thank you for having this difficult subject. I appreciate it, which draws me to your apostolate. And God bless you guys for this.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
Amen, my friend. I'm really praying for you and your healing, but thank you for that.
You know, it's fascinating, Trent, and I am going to go to the callers, even though I've completely lost trust in the callers today. I am going to go to them, but this is something, I know Patrick Madrid wrote a book about this, but not enough people talk about it. The pro-life position, people go, Catholics need to get with the times. The pro-life position actually attracts many people to the Catholic
Church.
Yes,
the book is called Surprised by Life, and it's a really great anthology of conversions through the pro-life community.
888-318-7884. Will you just tell Sarah, I'm just going to go straight to line one, so if she'll just let me have the line, then I will go to Cheryl. And where is, I can't see because she's still typing. Cheryl in South Indiana. I'm so glad that you are here, Cheryl. Why are you pro-choice, Cheryl?
Okay. I'm pro-choice because there are times when women's, not just their life is in danger, but their health is in danger. Mm-hmm. That I've known of a friend who would have physically been permanently damaged if she had gone through with the pregnancy. Now, what I think the issue really is for most people, most people don't think abortion, say, should exist in the 7th and 8th and 9th month. Mm-hmm. Okay. But people believe that abortion can exist in the 1st and 2nd month. Mm-hmm. The issue about whether a conception, life ends at conception, all right, you have to admit there's been some discussion about that with even in the Catholic Church, with the whole concept of when do you get your soul? You know, what happens with twins when the egg divides? Does the soul divide?
Right, but Cheryl, shouldn't we, if we're trying to answer the question of when a biological human being begins to exist, shouldn't we just look at the scientific evidence? And when you do look at that, there's almost 100% agreement among biologists that a new human being comes into existence at conception or fertilization. I think that should be our foundation.
Okay, and I'm not going to disagree with you. What I'm trying to say is that in places like Indiana, people who will have conditions where a pregnancy could, you know, injure their life or make their life more difficult physically and all because they have...
Cheryl, you there?
...sacrifice their life. Or should they have to sacrifice...
I'm trying to...
I think we're losing Cheryl. We're losing Cheryl.
Cheryl, you're coming
bit,
in
so
and
I'll
out,
just,
but I think Trent gets
I'll
the idea.
I'll just give
like,
an answer to this.
Yeah, go ahead. Because you know what she's asking.
So I have a practical answer and a principled one, that if you are pro-choice because you're concerned about dangers to a pregnant mother's health, then I would say, well, would you support a ban on abortion that has an exception if a woman's life is in danger or if there is a severe irreversible damage to a major bodily function? That most laws that ban abortion in the United States have an exception if a woman's life is in danger or if there's going to be what they would consider a severe irreversible damage to a major bodily function. Like if it's going to cause you to become blind, it's going to cause you to lose a limb, something like that. So if you're pro-choice, I'd say, well, you could support these laws that outlaw the vast majority of abortions that are done just for elective reasons, that are not done for a woman's health, they're not done for her life, they're done for a lifestyle, because you don't want to have another child, you want to continue school, you don't want to continue a relationship with someone. But then Cheryl did say something interesting. She said, well, this can make someone's life more difficult. I agree. But if pregnancy and childbirth causes your life to become difficult, whether giving birth to a child will make life difficult for a woman who is involved, for the man who is the father of that child, he has to care for that child. I have three children. Life does become more difficult when you have children. But the answer to the difficulties of raising a child cannot be legally killing that child. That's barbaric if we say that adults, that grown adults, that it's sufficient to say that they should be allowed to kill their own children because they have difficulties in life. We've all got difficulties, but we learn to resolve them with nonviolent means. That's what we do in a civilized society. So I would say that, you know, if you're looking at it in a narrow sense, like an extreme risk to health, there are exceptions to that. Though I would say from a moral perspective, you shouldn't be, it's immoral to kill someone just because they're a risk to your health. Like if I'm in a rowboat with Cy Kellett and Cy has an illness, that if he gets me sick, I would go blind. I would not be justified in pushing him out of the boat to protect myself from becoming blind or something like that. I'm not allowed to kill him just to preserve my health or even to kill him to save my own life. I know I could, you know, steady the boat to keep us both afloat. If he falls out accidentally, that's not my fault. But you can't kill other people directly just to protect yourself. Murder. Necessity is not a justification for a murder in that regard. But I talk about that more at length in my book, Persuasive Pro-Life. Those who are interested can seek out that resource for these hard cases. But the fact of the matter is, vast majority of cases, it's very clear that we should protect the lives of unborn children. And there's no problem. We can protect the lives of children and their mothers. We don't have to drive a wedge between them.
Cheryl, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. We were looking for pro-choice folks to call and make reasoned arguments so we could have those kind of discussions, and you stepped up to the plate, and I appreciate it, but we are at the end of this hour. I really also am deeply touched that you didn't shove me out of the boat, Trent. I really feel like we're making progress, the two
of us. I would
not,
Cy. You're doing fine. Fine for now.
I'm safe for now in Trent's boat. All right, Father Tad Poholchik, we're going to talk bioethics when we come back. If you got bioethics questions, abortion questions among them are fine. 888-318-7884.